It's amazing how a spirit of love will transform a mundane exercise into a spiritual enterprise.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We gained some very rich insights in the brief passage we want to look at today into what it means to have quality life. Do you wish to have a quality life? Do you wish to cease merely existing and begin really living and have that kind of life which has life with a capital L? Jesus said, I am come that you might have that kind of life. I came that you might have life. And I came that you might have life more abundantly. I want you to have an abundant life, the kind of life that just fills up your experience, your being, with meaning and fulfillment. We gain a significant insight in this passage into how one develops that kind of quality life. There are some credentials of greatness, some marks of deep quality of living that are revealed in verses 2, 3, and 4 in particular we're going to look at today, verse 3. As you look at verses 2, 3, and 4, I wonder what you see there. This is how I see it as I seek to unfold the ideas that are there. In verse 2, we have what I would call Paul rejoices. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer. And then secondly, Paul remembers. Not only does Paul rejoice, verse 2, secondly, Paul remembers in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing. He unceasingly remembered three things about them. One, their work of faith. Two, their labor of love. And three, their patience of hope. And those are the three powerful ingredients that need to characterize any Christian's personal biography. If you want to have an element of greatness, a dimension of meaning, of real quality to your life, of purpose, of destiny, which you never had before, you need as an irreducible minimum at least these three ingredients. These are the marks of quality life. These are the credentials for greatness in living out our lives. He unceasingly remembers and thanks God for three powerful things about the Thessalonians. Number one, their salvation. He calls it their work of faith. Number two, their dedication. He calls it their labor of love. And number three, their expectation. He calls it their patience of hope. Now let's look at those for just a moment. These three powerful things that Paul unceasingly remembers regarding the Thessalonians, and he would say to us, you must integrate these into your life if you want quality. Number one, do you notice he admires them and remembers and thanks God for their salvation. He calls it their work of faith. I believe that he has in mind there that act of faith by which they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Saving faith is an act of dependence upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Did you follow me on that? That's exactly what the Bible teaches. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:10, Acts 4:12. Do you want a deliverance from unrighteousness? Do you want a deliverance from bitterness? Do you want a deliverance from defeat? Do you want righteousness and love and victory to characterize your experience day by day and on out into eternity? Then you need rebirth. You need Christ. You need a work of faith. You need to exercise faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. If you've never done that, you got to do it today. You got to come to Christ today. That's followed by labor of love. Do you notice? Not only did Paul admire the Thessalonians for their salvation, he admired them for their dedication. Not only their work of faith and active dependence upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation, but also their dedication, their labor of love. And labor is one of those very favorite words of the authors of the New Testament. They use it frequently. Kapos is the word. K-O-P-O-S. Kapos. It became almost a technical term for the Christian experience. The Christian is a man who enjoys labor. Labor in the elements of God's kingdom. The special characteristic of that word labor, you know what it is? The special characteristic of that word is that it describes the kind of toil which takes everything of mind and sinew that a man can put into it. It describes the kind of earnest, strenuous, sweating labor which issues in sheer exhaustion. That's the meaning of the term. That's how it's used in the ancient world. Sweating, strenuous, earnest labor, which issues in sheer exhaustion. When Paul looked back on the Thessalonian Christians, he remembered them as being that kind of a Christian. Corporately as a church and individually, he had in his mind people who knew what it was to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that kind of labor demands motive power. You know what their labor was born of? It's a labor of love. Agape, that's the Greek word. You know what agape is? Agape is sacrificial investment, even at great personal cost, in the spiritual well-being of others. That's what agape is. That's what real love is. And we only get that from God. The agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans the 5th chapter teaches us. It is sacrificial investment, even at great personal cost, in the spiritual well-being of others. That was the spirit of the Thessalonian Christians. The love of the Thessalonians was a love for God and His Word, and a love for people and their needs. I wonder if we have that kind of love. Only God can give it to us. We're Christians, we've undergone the work of faith, but now what about this labor of love? We have salvation, but what about dedication? This is for us who know the Lord. Are we the dedicated people of God that we ought to be? Is there that labor of love, that labor to the point of sheer exhaustion, which is motivated by this divine ingredient of love that only God can bring down into our lives? You know, a man tells how once he stayed in a Bulgarian peasant's house. While he was there, all the time he was there, the daughter of that peasant was stitching away at a dress. He said to her, "Don't you ever get tired of that eternal sewing?" "Oh, no," she said. "You see, this is my wedding dress." It's amazing how love can transform a task. It's amazing how work done out of motives of love always has its own glory. We don't have to get anything in return necessarily. Just because we love God and love others, we serve them. And there's reward enough just in the fulfillment that comes in glorifying God and meeting the needs of those around us. It's amazing how a spirit of love will transform a mundane exercise into a dynamic spiritual enterprise. That was the characteristic of the Thessalonians. Paul says, when I think back on those Thessalonians, the first thing I remember is their work of faith. They were born again. They were radically transformed. They became new creatures in Christ. The next thing I remember is their dedication, their labor of love. The last thing I remember is their expectation. He calls it their patience of hope. You see, the Thessalonian church was born amidst the seething cauldron of Jewish envy, hatred, and persecution. How were the Thessalonians to behave in the face of that hostility? Paul says, I want you to be patient. I want you to be patient. And he uses a powerful word, hupomone. It's one of the noblest words in the New Testament. It means to remain under the load without casting it off, even when it seems that the load is unbearable. That's what the word means. Hupomone. It means to remain under the load without casting it off, even when the load seems unbearable. Maybe some of you came with unbearable loads. You're Christians. You're involved in salvation, maybe even dedication. But you've come with an unbearable load, and you're about to run. You're about to leave it behind. You're about to cast off the load. You can't handle it anymore. Paul admired the Thessalonians for the tremendous pressure to which they were subjected. Many of them had lost their lives because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They were very concerned about their dead loved ones who were now in the grave as a result of martyrdom. They were under tremendous pressure. They faced the seething cauldron of that Jewish animosity and hostility in the first century. Paul says, I admire you for your hupomone. You know what that word means? It means steadfast endurance. It means spiritual staying power. They didn't cast off the burden, even when it seemed as though the load was unbearable, and they didn't run. How could they do it? They knew the best was yet to come. Do you notice he says, patience, which is spawned by, or which grows out of hope. Hope is the happy certainty. Never implies uncertainty. Hope is the happy certainty that the best yet lies ahead. Any man can bear the struggle and the toil and the pressure and the hostility of the world around him if he knows that there's a purpose to it, that it's leading to something, that there's something better out ahead. And he has that through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian's hope is built on three things. I'll just give you the outline. The Christian's hope is built on three things. One, the revelation of God. We don't just pick it out of the air. It's not just an emotional zap. It's built on the solid foundation and the authority of God's Word. Psalm 119:81, I hope in thy Word. God has given us promises in the Scripture, and those are the things that sustain us in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. You have hope, Christian. no matter how difficult, how unbearable the pressures may seem to be. It's built on the revelation of God. Two, it's built on the regeneration of the Christian. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says that we were born again of incorruptible seed. Every one of us has in us something of the seed of God, and that seed is indestructible. It means that nothing in time and eternity can ever do any irreparable damage to us. If the whole globe disintegrates beneath our feet, all is not lost. We're ushered into the presence of God. We have eternal hope. It's built on the revelation of God. It's built on the regeneration of the Christian. It's built, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it's built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been begotten again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It means that Jesus Christ is alive. He has conquered death, and he's proven it. He's cheated it, and he's proven it. That is the basis of our hope. It's not founded on human speculation or modern philosophy. It's not founded on some emotional, ecstatic experience. It's founded on the solid authority of God's Word, our own regenerative experience, and the mighty resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's something in the Christian hope that not all the shadows in the world can quench. And that something is the conviction that God is alive. No man is hopeless. So long as there is the grace of Jesus Christ, and my friends, no situation is hopeless so long as there is the power of God accessible to every one of us. There's much more to be said in this passage, but let me close. We learn something here of the gratitude of the Apostle Paul for the Thessalonian Christians. You notice he rejoices. Verse 2, we've talked about that. He remembers. And then in verse 4, he reviews. He gives a categorical description of their salvation experience. And at the heart of Paul's gratitude are these three things. One, their salvation, their work of faith. And I can only ask you again as we close in just a moment. I can only ask you again, have you experienced God's mighty salvation? Have you been rescued from all that would destroy your soul in this life and in the life to come? That's salvation. If you want quality, if you want greatness in the true sense of that term, if you want meaning and destiny and purpose in your life, first and fundamental, the irreducible minimum, there is no other alternative, nothing else will do, you must be born again. You must be saved. That's a work of faith. I invite you to Christ. If you've never come to Christ, I invite you, come to Christ, and he'll do something powerful in your life. But secondly, we want to go a step further. Do you want more meaning and deepening satisfaction and joy in your life, then there must be not only salvation, but dedication, labor of love. And that's a word for you and I who are Christians. I wonder if there's that labor to the point of sheer exhaustion for the glory of God, prompted and motivated by love. And then finally, here's where the real meaning comes. Patience, spiritual staying power, refusal to throw off the load and run away, even when it becomes almost unbearable. Patience, which is prompted and motivated and which grows out of hope. The full realization that the best is yet to come. Perhaps the Lord has a message for your heart and mine in one of those areas. May our hearts be open and responsive to that message.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We ought to be the kinds of individuals and corporately the kind of church that we want nothing other than the Word of God. Preach the Word and nothing else.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.